Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista Smith.
Hey, everybody. Super excited to be with you for this episode.
Hey, we have an exciting interview coming up later on with Jennifer Donnelly. You need to pay attention to this podcast. I think you're going to really enjoy it. But before we jump into that, we just want to catch you up on a couple places that Krista and I have been. And most recently, Krista, you were in Chicago. Tell us about that.
I was with the incredible church, New Life Church, and Pastor David and Marisol, you know, just this incredible Puerto Rican church. I mean, they're amazing. And I just had such an honor of being in the presence of such hungry women and fiery women. And so there was many speakers and I was one of them. And we just saw God move beautifully, really encounter the women. And I had sweet Natalia from our team travel with us. And we really saw God move and we just saw the encounter of the Lord really ministering to women. And like we keep saying, the hunger is so tangible in the services right now of like what people are wanting and experiencing. So just so grateful and just really loved the culture and the people of the house. They were amazing. So awesome to be with them. And then I dropped you off and picked you up this last weekend and you were at one of our favorite places in Texas.
Yes, we're at Trinity Church and we were with some great friends of ours, Jim and Becky Hennessy. And as many of you know, that it was daylight saving time. So time had to leap forward, which meant I got 1 hour less sleep.
Yeah.
All of us, I don't even know why we do it. We are not an agrarian culture. We're not planning. Please, who's ever in charge, let's quit changing our clocks.
Right.
Let's just be on a year-round
Seriously, we don't need schedule. It. Like Sean and I have this conversation often about how it is not necessary. And although we won't take too much time to talk about it today, honestly, we need someone to like change that. And the people of California actually voted to not have it. And it's still happening.
I don't
Help
understand.
Me understand. Help me understand.
It doesn't make any sense.
None.
It just anyway, having said that, thank God for the anointing. I'm not a coffee drinker, but the anointing showed up. We had two powerful services at Trinity and they always have powerful services. And it was just awesome. The Lord gave me a specific word for the house. I shared and people hit the altar both services. We had people get saved. It was amazing. And just seeing so many great friends of ours and faces. And the thing that I just love is that there is this hunger that we're seeing wherever we go that is just kind of like this indicator that God is just doing something really out of the ordinary. And one of the things that I really feel like is this season is that God really is bringing a fresh momentum. I know you hear that term a lot from us, Keep It 100 Tribe, but God really is releasing a momentum. And it's funny because the Bible talks about that a day is coming where the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, those that plant seeds. And what that scripture is really about is it's about momentum. Like all of a sudden there's an acceleration and it goes on to say that God is going to do that in a way and that the storehouses will be filled with wine and all this stuff. So at the end of the day, there's momentum because God is going to take those that are spiritually dry and those that are spiritually empty, and there's going to be an outpouring and outbreaks of the Holy Ghost that I believe will really floor and shock people. So I'll just throw this out there. Number one, wherever you're listening, recognize God has chosen you to literally be the one that will burst forth the new that God wants to release. And so just be ready to roll with the momentum. We love to say around here, God is always moving, but God's movement times your movement equals momentum. It's, in other words, God is moving, but he needs to find the agreement of an abandoned person that's willing to go all out for God. And so we talked about that at Trinity and it was just amazing and got some great feedback and people loved your merch. My wife has put out some amazing merch.
Come on.
And you can get that on our website. And so we were selling so many of the trucker jackets, so many of the bomber jackets and t-shirts. So it was really powerful. Now, speaking of momentum, March 22nd, we are having our first of 2024. You guys know we did it all through 2023, but of the new year, we're doing our first Momentum Night. Earlier in the year, we had our Momentum Conference. Our Momentum Nights are free one-night event. It's going to be March 22nd at 7 p.m. at Sequoia Community Church in Oakland. We are wanting to call the Bay. Everyone's welcome. It's a free event. Get in the room. room. We are contending for revival. There's this passage it talks about in Exodus where God told Moses to strike the rock. And as he struck the rock, water came out. We are having a night where we're striking the rock. We're going to have extended worship. Krista, you are preaching.
I am. I got a word. Oh. I already got it kind of brewing in me.
Oh my goodness. Look out. Yeah. I'm super excited about that. And then we're going to go for it at the altars. No holds barred. We just feel like we need services where you take the parking brakes off. We just need services where you're taking off like all of the control valves or anything that would in any way limit what God wants to do. And so we're super excited about it. And so let somebody know, bring someone out. Again, March 27th, 7 p.m. at Sequoia Community Church, 4292 Keller Avenue in Oakland, California. And we're super excited about that.
Yeah, you know, get in the room. We always say that, get in the room. There is nothing like in the room. We're not live streaming it. So it really is something that we're just contending for revival in the Bay. And we're just believing for God to move in a really unique and powerful way because we need a fresh encounter. And the Bay is desperate for a move, God. And we've already seen the beginning of it. And yet there's so much more to tap into. It's like, we are so not satisfied, yet we're grateful, right? We're grateful for everything the Lord's done, but not satisfied. So we'll see you March 22nd, 7 p.m. Sequoia Community Church. It's free. Get in the room. Okay. So this month represents Women's History Month.
Wow.
So Jenny Donnelly and I, she's amazing. I've just connected with her probably in the last 6 months. I love what she carries. And what's funny is everyone kept telling her about me and everyone kept telling me about her, you know, one of those situations. So we got connected, I think, through just a lot of people saying, you guys need to connect. And then I think Jenny actually initiated a phone call with me and was like, hey, I just want to connect with you. And it was after the word that I released at Bethel about a move of God that's coming and that women are getting raised up and Esther's and this whole word that I released at Bethel. If you want to check out that word, it's on Bethel.com. But I just love what this woman of God carries. And we're talking about this conversation with Jenny and I. It's Women's History Month. And we're really seeing today that women are in a position of leadership and influence more than ever.
Come on.
And we're seeing that from the business sector now into the church.
Yes.
So across the board, we're seeing women raised up in this hour. And so we really got to understand and look at that and go, God, what are you doing? And really, to me, just the concise way to say it in simple terms are we are in an Esther 4 moment.
Mm.
And Esther 4 is when Mordecai goes to Esther and he's like, you were made queen for such a time as this. Wow. And if you don't step up, sister, it's his cousin, but he's saying, if you don't step up, cousin, so it's going to come from someone else. The deliverance of the people of God is going to come from someone else. So it was a challenge and an invitation to Esther that she needed to step in position, use her voice, be bold, and understand the assignment. And that's what I believe God is saying to women today, to stand up, to use your voice, to be bold and understand your assignment. But what I love is the message that Jenny and I are talking about, the conversation you're about to hear, because we're about to dive into a conversation that we wanted to share with you that Jenny and I actually had on IG Live, but we loved it. We thought, you know what? A lot of people may not listen to an IG Live in its totality. So we're going to put it on our podcast platform because we want people to hear this conversation between Jenny and I on really what God is doing with women right now. But I also want you to know, if you're a man that is in the Keep It 100 tribe, this applies to you. Do not be excluded in this. We are in an Esther Mordecai moment. Esther was not Esther without Mordecai, and Mordecai was not Mordecai without Esther. Both of them needed each other to walk out the call of God in their life. And that is true today. We are talking about men and women coming together, running the race together. I have the privilege of running this race with my husband shoulder to shoulder, and there's no one I want to do it more with than my husband. I am better with him. I need him. He is my greatest gift. God knows we need partnership, right? In the kingdom of God. And so what I love about this conversation between Jenny and I, we're going to jump into it in just a minute, is we talk about what it is to be bold, but how we both discovered boldness in our life. And then we're actually inviting you to be a part of what God's doing right now.
I am super excited for this conversation. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Jenny heads up a movement called Her Voice Movement. And she is just a powerhouse in her own right. And she is literally calling forth the charge of don't mess with our kids. And I love it. She'll explain more in the conversation. So Keep 100 Tribe, get ready for a conversation with Jenny Donnelly.
Awesome. Hey, Jenny.
Hello. Hello. How are you, Krista?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. Thanks so much. You're in Florida right now, right?
I am. Yes.
Thanks for taking time. I know she's typically an Oregonian like myself. She's usually on the West Coast and we're typically in the same time zone. But today, Jenny made some time out of her busy schedule. So thanks for joining me. You know, Jenny, I want to kind of just dive in. I was just saying hello to the people. I was welcoming them, thanking them for taking time out of their day and just being with us for this conversation. And then I was talking quickly about that I feel like the Lord is talking about alliances right now, and that really important key, not only is it a safeguard, it's an encourager in this season is about our alliances, who we're locking arms with in this hour. One of the people I'm really wanting to lock arms with is you, with Lou, with this movement. And I think God is raising up a company of people because we're greater together than just individual. And although we absolutely have influence in our individual spheres, I think we have a greater impact coming together. And so I want to share, you to share, if that's okay. I know you and I know your story. And there's a lot of people maybe that have jumped on that know your story. But can you tell me a little bit about, and just for people that aren't acquainted with you, who's Jenny Donnelly and what makes you tick?
All right. Yes. Thank you so much. It's a joy to be here today. So I actually was not raised in the church, but when I was 3 years old, I got saved in the Jesus Revolution, and they introduced me to Jesus. I folded my little fingers, asked him in my heart. And it was a very real moment for me. I remember it clear as day. And then my parents went on. Unfortunately, their marriage suffered. Really, they had no discipleship. They were very, very young. And so I wasn't in at that point afterwards, went to college, hit rock bottom. And the only incorruptible seed that was waiting for me was Jesus. And so I made a board of my life, young 20s, and then went into the business arena, and God really blessed it. And it was almost one of the first audible times you're like, wow, God just spoke to me, right? Like, I know that was God. One of the first times, as he said, Jenny, what I teach you in this business, you're going to need in the next 10 years, he said, you're going to need for the next season of your life. And so we went into this business, it was sales. And that's where we learned to lead people on as a volunteer army, you know, and serve people and learned leadership and learned how to work with people. And what happened was I was being so incredibly encountered by the Holy Spirit and learning fast. Like I went from who's Abraham to, you know, Bible reading plans. But I was so hungry for the things of God and hungry for the kingdom. And I just shared with everybody, our whole sales team, everybody got it. Like whether they wanted it or not, I was sharing the Holy Spirit. We started doing these, retreats that were unofficial and, you know, they didn't have names. We didn't have agendas.
Yeah.
And what happened showed up in these organic retreats. And, you know, people, I saw two spines straighten out from scoliosis. I saw blind eyes open, deaf ears open. And you're just like, you can't even believe it, right? You're just like, oh my goodness. And so that spread like wildfire. And 20 years later, my husband and I were top in sales, not number one, but in the top five. And we had a phone call in 2019 and said basically that the company went through a battle with the FTC and the owners decided to settle. And in the settlement, our whole business went away. And wow. The only thing left standing was this crazy wildfire going on underground, basically. And I was like, oh no, we're not doing a name. We're not doing merch. There's no ministry here. It's just people getting together and, you know, getting in touch with God. And so that was the only thing remaining standing. That was 2019. It wasn't too long ago. And then, so God was like, no, I'm putting this on the scene, Jenny. I'm kind of not going to agree with you that you want to do this, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak. And I believe that God's doing that with women right now. He's really saying to women, it's crazy because it's been acceptable for women to hide.
Yeah, totally.
In the church culture, it's like, oh, you don't want to come and say anything and you want to be seen. Okay, that's okay. We have a little special spot over here for you to hide and not, you know, really come through. I just had a talk with my kids and we rented a van. We're driving, you know, with all my kids and everything. And I was just at a studio doing a television program and I brought them in and my 9-year-old is like, am I going to be on TV? What's happening right now? There's cameras, you know. We got in the car and I said, Eden, sweetheart, the Donnellys are afraid of nothing.
Amen.
We're afraid of nothing. I said, so what? National television, which there was, and I was just showing the studio. But I said, Eden, we're afraid of nothing. We're not afraid to tell our testimony. We're not afraid to apologize. We're not afraid to say we're wrong. We're not afraid to stand up to somebody and say, you know what? I love you. I don't agree with you. And this is what I saw in my daughter just even a couple of hours ago at 9 years old. Like she was, I mean, she just got frozen. And I just wonder how many women in the church feel that way, but they're not 9 years old. They're 39, 29, they're 49. And there hasn't been a mother come in and say, but guess what? We're not afraid. And so we're going to live our life unafraid to be seen. See, Eden didn't want to be seen. And I'm just wondering, you know, Esther didn't either. Yeah, she was like,
good. I'll hang out in the palace. Yes.
Yeah. And here comes Mordecai to ruin all that, right? to save an angel. So anyway, I'm kind of going outside of the question you asked, Krista. My life, when I woke up on campus, I'll just go back. When I woke up on campus one day and I was in clothes that smelled like smoke, smelled like alcohol, been drinking and partying the night before, just like many other nights. But that morning I woke up and I had nothing on the inside of me. And I don't know how many people have actually felt this. I've only met a couple people that have said that happened to me too, but I had nothing on the inside. It's as if the Lord, he was, you know, in me as a young little girl, he literally extracted himself out of my body and put the hole in my soul that went to a bottomless pit. The kingdom of darkness had completely overtaken my soul. And I was so scared. I was laying in my bed. I start crying out for my roommate. Her name is Mary. She's a Christian. And I start saying, Mary, Mary. She runs into the room thinking, is our room on fire? She runs into the room. She takes one look at me and she says, I don't know what to do for you. And I scared her. I'm sure I looked like complete hell. Okay. And so I got up out of bed and I was sobbing and crying and screaming. And I walked out of my apartment and walked to the closest church. There was no like, you know, I wonder what kind of coffee they have, or, you know, I wonder if they have the vibe, you know. No, it was like, I was hanging over hell. And I walked in and a pastor in the middle of the day, the middle of the week, a pastor, I'll share this testimony really quick. I startled him. Okay. Cause I walked in, I was just, you know, and they're like, whoa, it's not Sunday. What's happening? And so they got into this room. The pastor puts on a cassette tape because it's the 90s. And he walks out of the room, shuts the door, and a 20-minute song plays. And this 20-minute song is a story about a father whose son decided he wanted to do his own thing and just kind of get away from the father. And the son goes and, you know, gets away from the father. The father starts looking for the son. The father finds the son, and the son is wrapped in heavy, heavy chains. And I know that's me when I'm listening to this. And the father comes and unwraps the, and all of a sudden a breath comes in me.
Wow.
I'm sitting this by myself. I get this breath and all of a sudden death leaves my body. And then here's what happens. The father takes the chains and wraps them on himself.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I start sobbing. And I said, God, why would you do that? Why would you put what I have in me on yourself? And that's when I understood the exchange. That's when I understood the cross. That's when I understood that he took my sin. He took the heaviness. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just believing in a God out there. It was an exchange. I walked out of that office. Actually, before I walked out, I said to the pastor, I said, what was that song? And he immediately rebuked me. And he said, it's not about a song. Because he knew I would be intimate with a song instead of this. And you know what? It wasn't until about 30 years later that somebody in my church, I've told the story enough. She said, Jenny, I think I found the song. And she did. She found it on YouTube. And I got to hear it again for the first time and sobbed all the way through it. But what God did for me in that moment was he made me, I had done nothing for the kingdom of God up to that moment. You know, the devil attacks your future you, not the one, you know, and so I didn't have a whole lot.
Good, Jenny. Say that again for people to really catch that.
The devil attacks future you.
Yes.
So at that moment in time, I couldn't sit there and give devil reasons why I should live, because I had been so selfish and so self-seeking because I was broken.
Right.
My husband was out of child. I was looking for love, you know, but I didn't have any like, but I've done all this for, you know, humanity or humankind or God. Like I didn't have anything that said, you know, nobody would miss you, Jenny. You contribute nothing to this earth. That's when the devil attacks us, because he knows what God wired into us, right? In our DNA is this change agent, right? Inside each of us, every person, there's a lot of people that go to their grave never having tapped into and activated the change agent that God wired into their being. And so that's what the devil's scared of. He's scared that you will encounter God, you'll encounter his love, you'll encounter the blood, and all of a sudden it's activated, right? And it's like the superhero Jesus inside of you hits the scene, and then the devil's like, oh no, you know? And so that's why he goes after us before we've done a whole lot. And then he tries stuff later. But anyway, the long and the short of it is there was no way I could keep that experience to myself. And I haven't been able to since. And that was in the 90s. And so I'm just committed. And I was in business full force, like you're in my house and we're at a sales meeting and it's 1 minute past the meeting, baby. Guess what? You're getting a prophetic word. I'm going to ask God about you. I'm going to ask you some questions. And it was game on. And now, you know, business is gone and God's like, okay, now we're going to do it this way. It's the same thing. It's just, you know, whether I'm in front of a person or 50 people or whatever, or today. So anyway, my heart is to see the voices of women free, not for the sake of what the Western culture would say, which is, you know, to be somebody, I need to be seen and blah, blah, blah. No,
right.
Because you are an assault weapon on the enemy. And when your voice gets free, the voice means light, you actually cut and penetrate the darkness. And sometimes it's just kids that weapon needs to be waged in your household, let alone a stage or anything like that. So anyway, that's a little bit, I know I kind of, you know, expanded on
girl,
that.
You can go any direction direction you want. I love it. And I think what you're sharing is so powerful because it shows that when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus, it literally begins a wildfire within you that can't be contained. And that's what I love about the zeal and the passion that you carry is there's a wildness about you. There's a wildness about me. There's a wildness about a company of women that have been raised up in this hour. And all of our stories are different. My story is different. Your story is different, but it's the reality of when you encounter the genuine love of God and the reality of the presence and the power of God and what he did for you, and you get really wrecked by that genuine love, all of a sudden you become this, yes, you're living, but you're not living for yourself anymore. And it's not about you. It's about him and what you've encountered, the freedom you've encountered, the joy you've encountered, the peace you can walk in, the shame that's been broken off, the fear that's been broken off. Because I know what bondage is. You know what bondage is in areas. When you experience freedom, you look around a world around you that's in bondage and you're like, that was me. I know that girl, or I know that life. And there is a reality of you're like, I'm not here on this earth so people can stay in bondage. I'm here on this earth so people experience freedom. I'm wired for freedom because Jesus set me free. So everything about me is like, how free can I get this room if I'm in a service? How free can I get this person if I'm in a deliverance session or I'm in a prayer session with someone? Like everything about me is wired where I want people free, whether it's the land is free, a people group is free, a nation is free, a state is free. Like what Jesus did on the cross is for freedom. And so there's a demand on that passion right now. There's a demand on that conviction right now where it's not like, I just want to kind of circle back to what you said. We don't have the luxury or the option right now to stay quiet. I just preached this last week in a Chicago, fantastic church with a bunch of Puerto Rican fiery women. I was like, I'm not Puerto Rican, but I feel like I am when I'm with the Puerto Ricans. I'm like, I love you guys. You guys are amazing, awesome. Right? But there's this fire that we're called to like live with right now that we don't, and I preach this, that we don't have the luxury right now of living a nice and tidy Christianity. Just show up, sing our songs, go to church, go home to our white picket fence, our nice little family, and think the devil's not going to go after us, that we're not going to have to face opposition, that our spiritual authority isn't going to be activated or demanded on. No, we're in a moment where the enemy is busting down doors, knocking on your front door, coming into your house, trying to go after your kids, which hence with the movement you're carrying, which I love. You're carrying it for America. Other nations are carrying it. You're carrying it for America. I love it. Don't mess with our kids. But it's also don't mess with our husbands. And I love your focus, but I even want to take it broader for just a moment, not to pull away from it, but just simply to go, if women don't connect with the kids, which I hope they do, but if, you know, it's like, don't mess with our families, don't mess with your neighborhood, don't mess with your cities, don't mess with our nation, whatever is that place where it connects with you. And you just go, that's my place. I want women to get activated. You want women to get activated, but this doesn't exclude men. Mm-hmm. And this is really important that sometimes when we think a people group or a gender specifically as a women are getting raised up right now, it gives men permission or other people to kind of get quiet. No, everyone's getting activated. It just looks really different. And women's authority and their shout and their roar is getting activated right now. There's a boldness that's coming across women right now that is necessary. It's not even like a preference. It's kind of a requirement right now. Like we have to be bold on who we are, what we believe, and why we're here, right? Why are we here on planet Earth? Are we just here to have a nice, comfortable Instagram pretty life? Or are we actually here to like legit make a difference for the kingdom of God and really be mouthpieces for the Lord unapologetically and with boldness? I love it because you're doing it. You're not just talking about it, Jenny. You're doing it. So for people that feels intimidating to, people where they go, Jenny, Krista, you guys are outgoing, you're sanguines. No, this isn't about personality. I want us to erase that right now because volume, personality type doesn't equate boldness, right? No. You can be quiet introvert and be bold, right? And you can know who you are and exert an authority that is not dependent on a personality type or a style even or a volume. Jenny, how do you speak to the person, the woman, the man for that matter, that is going, I want to be bold, but they are kind of, they've been living in a comfortable place of timidity or in comfortable zone where they need to get kind of like rattled a bit. How would you speak to that person where they kind of, like, they wake up today? Because we're calling women to wake up today.
Yeah. I would say, well, a couple different things. First and foremost, we know the birds of a feather flock together. The more that you hang around people like Krista, the more you hang around people that are, that have found, like they've crossed the threshold of the 11th commandment, which is be nice and make everybody like you. No, that, you break covenant with the 11th commandment that never existed. Okay. You cross the threshold to, I'm going to stand before God with the fear of the Lord on my life. And I have to ask him, why am I here? Because I'm actually not home. My home, I'm a citizen of heaven. See, we have to get that straight. We're not here build life that just poof, it's gone. No, I want to arrive in heaven going, God, did I do what you put me here to do? We're on a mission. We've been deployed. Yeah. We've been deployed here. So we got to get that straight in us. Why am I here? Right. Is it to have that best car? Is it to have the next best house? And God doesn't have a problem with any of it.
Right.
He loves to bless us. But yeah. Is that really cool, or is that just the blessing that follows me? See, we don't follow it. It follows me. So we have to really establish in our own hearts, why did God choose to put me in this hour at this time? Now, we have to also see that Esther, well, I can relate to this part. She told Mordecai, no. She said, I can't. It's illegal. When he said, go and talk to the king because the Jews are going to be completely destroyed. She said, no. We don't often look at that. Now, why did she say no? Because she didn't want to die. So this temptation to self-preserve, just know it's natural. You know, my knee jerk reaction at me is, whoa, you know, like I need to preserve my life. She did that, but thank God for Mordecai. You brought that up with the men. See, the Mordecais are the bows. The women are the arrows of the hour. God is going to shoot the voices of women out, but an arrow is just going to go without a bow. It's not going to go far. It's not going to go fast. It's not going to hit the target. Yeah. It's speed and force. And that is where the men come in. So it's men and women bearing the image of God. And I think the devil is so scared of a man and a woman, not just necessarily married, but yeah, father powering their daughters, right? And the Mordecai was a cousin, right? He covered Esther. Come together, and men and women together are the perfect image of God. We're the image bearers of God. And I think the devil's like, man, if I get up against the image of God, I'm in trouble here. But you know, you have to hang around people. You have to get around people like this, because we will become the people we hang around. And then we have to answer the question, why am I here? What am I doing here? Am I really here just to make everything cozy? And when I got the last thing that I thought would make me happy, did it? We have to ask ourselves these tough questions.
That's
and
good.
We have to, am I, you know, most of us wake up and I'm hearing this word right now. Most of you, many of us are waking up feeling fatigued in the morning. Okay. But God is actually standing right there offering your fatigues or fatigues. See, there's a counterfeit. Yeah, there's a counterfeit offer in the morning. Oh, I'm just fatigued in life, and oh, got to get the kids, got to make the young, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? We have to live above that, which we're Ephesians 2:6. We're seated with Christ in heavenly place. We've got to live our life from where we're seated right now. Our spirit is actually not, it's not confined to the natural laws of the earth. We are actually to reign and rule from another place. And so we have to be here and there at once. But if we're only confound to our feet on the earth and what we see, we're going to be very discouraged. So we are, you know, spiritual beings on a human journey. We're not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings that got deployed into an earth suit. And then we have to say, okay, why am I here? And then we just have to walk this thing out. And it gets exciting, right, Krista?
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, that's why you made me. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm born at this time. Because I am to wage war on the enemy. I am to make the enemy suffer and bring the kingdom of heaven that exists in heaven to earth. I'm to do that. And when you settle the mission, you align yourself with the mission that God asked you to do, all of a sudden a holy boldness comes over you, because you know what? You're now more you than you've ever been.
Yeah.
Because the fall have as much boldness. It didn't have as much courage. It had a lot of whining. It had a lot of complaining. I've lived it. I get it. But when we right with heaven, all of a sudden, okay, Krista, I lived behind my mother's leg. I was the baby in the car seat. My mom would tell people, don't look at her, she'll cry.
Oh,
my mom started when I was in third grade. She got divorced. We, you know, lived just with her. I was so scared. I was so timid. And she was like, okay, Jenny, if you want to start ballet lessons, you have to call the studio. I thought I was going to die. And then she made me like order the pizza, and I had to call it. I remember the phone book and just calling, thinking, I'm going to die. Someone's going to answer the phone. I'm going to have to talk. I'm in so much trouble. You know, I had a really good mom. Her name is Deborah. And she made me step out with my voice because she saw that I would hide if anybody would let me. See, I don't have the propensity of my natural nature to want to be bold. I actually wanted to hide. But when I aligned
with God,
I aligned with God and I had a bold mother. See, I was around somebody who wouldn't let me hide. And I finally came to terms. Okay, God, I'm not going to hide from my calling anymore. I'm not going to try to get other people to do it. I actually sense right now that some of you are like, yeah, I'm just going to delegate to other people. And I'm making sure other people, like Krista, she'll do it for me. No, Krista only has to give account for her assignment.
Yes.
But when we get in, I mean, I'm going to look in my pockets for excuses and they're not going to be there. They didn't make it across the line, you know?
Yeah.
Our excuses to heaven. So just ask for the fear of the Lord. Ask, say, God, I want to wake up, like putting on my fatigues, saying, what's my assignment today?
Oh,
and if God is in you, trust me. David looked at Goliath, who was ginormous, and said, wow, you're pretty small compared to my God. David took himself out of the equation. Delete yourself. Just, you know, God had to tell me, Jenny, get over yourself.
Right.
And I went, Jenny, get over yourself. And I was like, wow, that makes me feel better, actually. And only the way that God can, he said, get over yourself. We've got a job to do. And you're making it about you. All your insecurities, that this is about you and it's pride. Okay. So we think by being silent, we're being humble.
Right.
So no, actually it takes humility to step in the light and say, well, little old me with a big giant God, we're going to take a step and we're going to start doing and saying whatever God asks us to do in Jesus' name.
Come on. You know what I love is you nailed it. And I want to circle back to it. When you understand your purpose and you know that you're here for such a time as this, all of a sudden that revelation of I'm here for the kingdom of God, it shakes off that complacency and that unknowing of why you get up in the morning. You need a purpose, and your purpose is your assignment in the kingdom of God. And then your second thing you said, which I love, because that will, and let me just finish that thought, that will automatically produce a new boldness, right?
Yes,
when you know you have a purpose, when you know you have, like, there's a mission that's within you. I think when people don't have a vision, they don't have a revelation of like what God, who God is, number one, in them, what he's called them to in this hour, they become complacent and distracted. You know what breaks distraction is when you have a mission. When you're like, I don't have time for that. It's easy to turn off the TV, easy to turn off the Netflix when I have a mission. I'm like, no, I got to steward my time. I got to steward my life. I actually have an assignment that I got to give myself to. There's a focus that comes in that. And then it also causes you to remove the things that are draining you that are causing the fatigue, right? So often when you know your mission, you look around, you're like, is this stuff adding to my mission? If the answer is no, you're like quickly removing it. All of a sudden energy comes back, because when you're full of vision, you're full of the Spirit of God, you'll naturally have an energy that's in you. I know that's true for me. It's like when I'm in the old assignment, I'm fatigued. When I'm in the assignment that's accurate, that's in the season, man, I will naturally wake up and like Sean laughs. I'm like, woo, let's get on with the day. Like I have things to accomplish and I'm excited because I know like I don't want to waste time, right? And so we'll all approach it different, but I just want you to know when you're in the accurate current season of God, you'll naturally have an energy, a vision, and a passion for it. It's what will break fatigue, and then you'll put on the fatigues. I love that. When you said that, I was like clapping. Well, kind of clapping, snapping for you. You know, you talked about teaming up with people, get around people that won't let you hide.
Yep.
There's a movement that we're calling, and I was like, if you need to join a group of women, that's why we're here today. This is what you and I are talking about. If there's women that need to team up with a movement, I think this is the movement where it will not let you hide. We have on October 12th, and we have a date before that that's at People's Capitals, but I want to focus on the October 12th for a moment, because this is the Esther Company that we're calling the Esthers and the Mordecais to gather in Washington, D.C. to pray for America and the turning of a nation, because we truly believe a nation can be saved in a day. The Word of God says so. So we're taking the Word at its word, and we're saying, God, turn a nation. And as Esthers and Mordecai gather, it's going to require a boldness for you to champion this. And we're about, what, 8.5 months out from that or so right now. And so the next 8 months, we're asking women to come alongside to really believe in this vision, to carry it, whatever sphere of influence they have in the natural, to invite people to come alongside. You even have a thing called prayer hubs. So let's talk about this, Jenny, because I think there's some women, I think you hit something where you're like, you got to be around people that won't let you hide.
Yeah.
This is that. This whole million women gathering on October 12th is is that this is you saying, I'm not hiding. I'm actually going to stand in public in boldness, and I'm going to declare my faith unapologetically. And I'm going to do it with a bunch of like-minded, like-hearted people. So let's talk about that. How, like, kind of the vision I'd love for you to hear. You'll probably articulate it a little bit better than me, but can you cast some vision and kind of what that assignment looks like for people to get alongside it right now?
For sure. Well, it happened for me in 2020, and with COVID, I mean, we all went through that, obviously, globally. In Portland, Oregon, which is where I live, there was, of course, mayhem happening. But it wasn't just a couple of days. It was 186 days in a row without a break. Mm-hmm. At first, we just tucked our tails and went, okay, make it stop. You know, like maybe evil will give up. Guess what we found out? Dark doesn't just give up. Light actually has to come and interrupt it. And so I was very concerned. Yeah. Just even in my heart, I was like, God, the church is going to have to do something. What does it look like? Not just for Portland, Oregon, but I can't believe this is happening in our nation right now. Like, this is not okay. But we're just shutting down our churches, and, you know, the strip clubs are open. The, you know, all like, wait a minute. So I know there's so many people out there that relate to this. I was so, I could not rest because I was like, I'm part of the church. Genesis 1:20, build the earth and govern it. And so I felt this, the fear of the Lord on me. And I was minding my own business one day, making my bed or something. And I heard the Lord say, Jenny, you're going to be a part of gathering a million women that are going to turn America around. Now, I did not tell anybody this because the first thing I thought of was, I don't know a million women. I don't know the how, right? But then, and I'm a kind of a strategic person. So I was like, okay, God, so the only way this makes sense to me is if you're telling a whole lot more people than me. Okay. And I'm like, and you're going to have to bring them. I don't know how to find them. I mean, how do you even find those people that you're talking to right now? And so I was expecting a convergence and an alliance somewhere along the way. I didn't, but I actually didn't tell anybody. But then I got in a room of bold women during 2020. And it was this like, hey, we're going to come. We don't care if there's COVID. 450 women in a room. And one of my spiritual mentors from the stage, and I hadn't even told her, but she said, Jenny, there's a million women that are going to stand on the lawn in DC. That was the first time I heard DC, because I didn't hear that when he told me the first. He just said a million women, they're going to turn things around. Yeah. Kept it very, you know, large scale. And then she said DC, and I was like, oh, cat's out of the bag. All right. You know, and then I heard Lou Engle. Somebody said, Jenny, did you know that Lou Engle's carrying that? And I thought, oh, thank God. Then people started emailing me. Then I started hearing, you know, it was already discussed. And I was like, okay. All right. You know, because at first it was like, oh no, God, why'd you tell me that? You know?
Yes.
How do you execute something like that? But what happened was it started forming. And one of the things I want people to understand on here that got me moving, I wasn't excited about an event. I've been in the event business since I was in business. And it's like, I love events, you know, but who wants to put on a million person event? Right. I mean, come on.
Right.
That
right.
doesn't very motivating.
It needs a purpose and it needs to be beyond the event.
Exactly. And so what had happened was I ended up having asked the Lord this question. I said, what is going to cause women, like, what's the thing that makes us all go, okay, let's get together. Like, it's not going to be an event. It's going to be, is it a crisis, Lord? Like, is there going to be a crisis? Like, what kind of crisis is going to take? Because we're in one right now and that's not doing it. And this was, you know, during COVID. And he said to me very clearly, he said, oh, the church will get together. Everybody will stand up. They'll start fighting and coming together when they take your kids. And I went, whoa. And he said, when the overreach into the family happens and the kids become the property of the government, the property of another culture, and the parents lose the authority over their children to serve God freely, that is when the church will stand up. And I was tore up by that because I didn't expect that. And so what we saw, of course, is we have 1 in 5 Gen Z self-identifies LGBTQ, but in 7 months, that's now, it's 7 months ago, it was that. Now it's 1 in 3. And I'll say this, we have great compassion for the LGBTQ community. I have 3 women that have gotten set free and delivered that are on our team that I work with closely every single day. And they're amazing. We're expecting a huge revival and reformation and pioneers to come out of the LGBTQ community. Most of these people grew up in a Christian. This is what I've discovered. This is what I found out. And so the enemy hates it because when a person finds their true identity, they find their voice, the voice comes out, devil's toast. So this whole thing is an attack on the church. And so anyway, in June, I have to tell you this, in June, I was on a Zoom. Lou was invited on the Zoom, a couple others, and a man named Christian Rosa Jesus was on there from Peru. And he said, I need to tell you the testimony of our nation. You know, you hear testimonies of individual testimony. Wow. You know, you take that. Well, there was a testimony of a nation. And I felt God say, take the testimony of a nation and say, do it again, God. What happened in Peru in 2016 was Christian and his sister, pastor's kids, young adults, they said, this has gone too far. Because back then, if we were to call somebody their biological pronoun and that person wanted a different pronoun, a different gender than their biological sex, it wasn't hate speech. Right now, it's hate speech in the United States to call somebody their biological pronoun if they don't want it. In Peru, it was prison, going to prison. And he said that they decided enough is enough. Guess what they did, Krista? They put a date on the calendar, just like we did, right? October 12th, 2024, they put a date on the calendar and they said, anybody who loves family, shut down the business. Like the dog's not getting groomed that day. Yeah. Like we're not doing the union. Like it literally, and they were able, and the qualifications were this. Do you love family? Do you love marriage? Do you love, I mean, like the idea of men and women coming together and having family units, then come to this. Well, here's what happened. Things caved in so quickly, just like they are now in the United States, like the legislation that people met in the street all over Peru. They didn't wait for that date. There's a groundswell of millions of people, and they were able to oust the prime minister.
Wow.
They ousted the education minister just because people showed up and said, yeah, we're not going to do the gender ideology thing either. We know that God made male, God made female. That's what we're standing for. They had a flag because you know what? The LGBTQ community figured out. They figured out kingdom things that work. Flags are territory. Flags are identity. Colors actually create culture, and they got colors. They got the rainbow, right? They got the rainbow to communicate, and that how it infiltrated so fast. And so what they said on this Zoom was, listen, we were able to turn our nation back to God. George Soros pulled out all of his funding out of Peru.
Wow.
And a lot of the stuff that's happening in the schools right now, a lot of the garbage and the trash that these kids are exposed to is because of George Soros funding. This is a nation that had a harvest of souls come to Christ because the people went to the public square. And I sat back and went, wait a minute, that's what the LGBTQ community did. They went to the public square. They took over June. They started having drag marches, pride parades. They had colors. They had a flag. And this is what Christian said. He said, if you guys choose to do this in America, which I hope you do, because it's all going to, he goes, trust me, it's coming for you guys. He said, if you do this, would you use the flag and we use the colors? And at that moment, I thought, out of honor, yes. However, you know, 7 months later, 8 months later now, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's why it was important. Because flag identity, right. They are tribe, they communicate truth and colors. And so don't mess with our kids. I'm hearing God say, don't mess with my kids. You could be 78 and he's like, don't mess with my kids.
Right.
It's God's kids. He's actually coming and standing up for his nation of his children. But he's also doing this to get people out of legislation that are allowing evil to come into our school systems and all the other platforms. But at any rate, so yes, we set the capitals in advance, knowing we need some pre-rallies all around the United States and get a local representation for prayer, communion. And that's on April 13th. But this day on October 12th, the pre-rallies from the capitals expand to October 12th, 2024. And it is women and their families. Yeah. And you said earlier with the women, and I want to point this out, women are multipliers. We don't go to the bathroom alone. We don't go. I mean, I'm always looking for a friend. Like, do you want to go shopping with me? I'm going to Sephora. Do you want to, you know, the things, yeah. Right? Like, we want to go with our friends. That is why the enemy is so afraid of women. We multiply everything we touch. So it's not women, the end. It's a new wineskin, actually. It's women with the bow, right, of the men. I think the prayer and fasting is the pullback on the bow. I think that that's the force, right? I always feel like I'm going backwards when I'm fasting. It's like, how can this be helping? I feel miserable, right? Pulling back, and then the force released from Archer, King Jesus. So with all that being said, Peru had to make a decision to go all in. They had a shutdown. Everybody shut down their businesses that day. It was all people, I mean, that love family. So there's a ton of people that were Christians. We're calling anybody who loves family and says, we don't want to see our families collapse. You know what? October 12th, that's your day. And come into your state capitol on April 13th. Come pre-rally. Bring your family. Wear your pink and blue. Seriously, get the colors out. We have flags and all that stuff too. But all that to say is, what would happen? What would happen if people who love family, especially the family of God, stepped into the public square and said, we're standing for truth. We're not violent. We're not bitter. We're not doing crazy stuff. We're coming out with actually smiles on our face. We're coming in love, the love of God that preserves nation. God called, said, you know, got to be salt, not just flavor, but we have to preserve the freedom that many people died for our freedoms. And so many of us need to say, you know what? I don't know what this looks like. I've never done this before, but I'm going to come and preserve the truth in my community and in my family. So October 12th. And a lot of people know to go to this website, but let me just give it a million women oregonian.org is where you want to go just to put your name down for October 12th. If you want to know more about Don't Mess With Our Kids, it's don'tmesswithourkids.us. And I believe that that testimony of Peru, that God is going to, he's going to do the same thing. I have great, great hope that America will be turned back to God, but it's not going to be this preacher on a microphone that does it. It's going to be the body. It's going to be the people listening to this. It's going to be all of us coming together.
It's so true. And I love that God is requiring us to leave the church buildings and to go outside the four walls and come together across denominational lines, across theology lines, across expression lines, so to speak, of the body of Christ, but the body of Christ in totality coming together and really saying, don't mess with our kids. And I love that you took it biologically all the way up. You're like, I don't care if you're 70 something, right? This isn't just little kids, although absolutely it's about the little kids. It's about the next generation, 100%. But it's about don't mess with God's kids. Don't mess with the identity of God's kids. And so, you know, friends, as you're hearing Jenny and I talk about this, you're hearing about us talking about recognizing you're in a time where your voice is needed. And God is saying, come on, ladies, women of God, men of God, it's time to rally together to fight for the next generation, to stand not in violence, but in an unapologetic posture where we're just like, I'm not moving. Like, I'm not moving from this and I'm not intimidated. I'm not afraid, but I'm going to stand here and we're going to see the kingdom of God go forth and we're going to defend the next generation because we know the identity of God over them and we're not going to cower and we're not going to be intimidated. And I think that posture is going to break some things over the church that specifically in America that we've seen the church come underneath the spirit of intimidation these last few years. That thing is getting broken where we're not intimidated anymore. Like we're not underneath the government on an earthly level. We're underneath the government of heaven. And so that's not a permission to be living out in our flesh, but it is permission to be obedient to the leading of the Lord, right? And what the word of God says. And so, you know, I know that people are hearing this today. And so I'm just inviting you, Jenny is inviting, we're inviting you, come be a part, align yourself. Because at the very beginning, I talked about alliances. Get shoulder to shoulder, get arm to arm with people that are really going after defending the kids. Don't mess with our kids. Don't mess with our families. And don't mess with the kingdom of God, right? Because we're standing up and we're taking our position or we're taking our place. October 12th, 2024, mark your calendars. Get your girl gang. Get your spiritual girl gang. Get your tickets booked. Jenny and I are going to be there with our families and friends in our ministry peeps. You guys, you do the same. But Jenny, any last words for people to get connected? Any last thing you want to say before we sign off and ask people to get involved?
Yeah, you mentioned prayer hubs. They're up free. You can go to hervoicemovement.com or don't mess with our kids. It'll all kind of, you know, connects. But this is what I want to say. God gave me a dream one night and it was almost like I was dreaming all night long. And he was showing me that the prayer hubs, the target needs to be the kids in the prayer hubs.
That's good.
And he gave me the phrase, you know, moms have play dates. He said, I want the moms to have play dates.
Ooh,
and
that's good.
Right there in California, you know, and other places around the US right now, the after school Satan clubs are coming in hot and heavy.
Yeah.
And a lot of women are like, oh no, no. But it's like, guys, gals, let's think of what we can do. We can play offense here. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is why not have an after school pray date? And so we upload five coloring sheets every single month. I put them on the table. I have kids that span from, you know, young adult to little. We have our friends come over. They put their kids right there at the coffee table. We've spread those out. I make tons of copies of them. And they start, you know, drawing all that. We pray with them because I think it would be a big mistake. And we know this from the Bible and Judges. If you don't bring a remnant of war for the young ones, they don't know how to war.
Ooh,
and when I believe this is going to turn around, but the last thing I want is for it to turn around. I'm long gone. And my kids and my grandkids have this amazing several decades and then things start going back downhill, right? But they didn't know how to fight it because we didn't teach them how. God is very specific in the Bible about teaching our children about him and what we're doing. I would say this, moms, grandmas, dads, grandpas, you have a prayer hub because they're right there in your family line and steward that. It's absolutely free and get in there, use all of our resources. And, you know, I would just say, get them in prayer. They don't need, you know, I just say, hey, when I'm done praying, you just say amen. Yeah. They don't need to look like they're being spiritual with you. They just need to be in the room.
Yeah.
And you know, Krista, when you know, you're ministering to somebody, they're 38 years old, and they're just falling apart. And you find out that they don't know how to pray. They don't have a personal prayer life. Right. That wasn't
modeled in
fabric. Yeah. And so let's use this crisis to disciple the Gen Z and the Alpha. Let's use it to disciple and actually turn this thing so far on the enemy's head that he pays for it. And we actually come into something that maybe we wouldn't have without this particular battle. So I just want to bless everybody. If you have a child or a grandchild that's in the LGBTQ community, let me tell you what, we've seen so many of them get free, because that's what God's in the business of, getting people free. It's not hard for God. And this is what I found out is anybody struggling with that? The anointing of a woman that just wraps her arms around somebody who's just a little bit confused. You know what? When I was using alcohol to numb my pain, I was confused. I didn't know where to find my comfort. I had a mama bear come around me and help me through it. Her name was Miss Letty, Boise, Idaho. I'll never forget it. She came around me and she loved me into who I was in Christ. And that's what we have to do. We're not going to pray. We're not going to point at him across the fence. No, come on. Let me just hug you. Let me hold you. I'm not going to make your choices, but I love you enough to come very close and to give you all the love that God gave me. So let's keep that in mind, that we have the anointing to break something that can look intimidating, but it's not. It's an invitation to love. And so we just say, go for it. Be anointed. Love them all the way through it. And you're going to see so many people get set free.
So good, Jenny. Jenny, thank you for taking time for just coming on this live with me.
Love you, my friend.
All right. Love you. Thanks again for your time. All right. Bye, you guys.
Wow. That was powerful. And I agree. Don't mess with our kids.
Right.
That is the wake up moment.
Yeah.
And just, God has raised her up. She is just a firehouse. I love the fact that she is bold in declaring the truth. She's not mincing words. She's obviously coming with compassion, but she's speaking with authority and literally drawing the lines that we need to see drawn in this generation.
You know, it's so true. And you know, Jenny and I said it, we'll say it again. We just want to invite you, men and women, come on, this is the men and women families. Join us October 12th at the Washington DC Mall for a million women gathering, but it's a million women and her family. So it's everyone coming together, really believing for God to invade a nation. We believe God can save a nation in a day. So we're inviting you, mark your calendars, get your tribe, get to October 12th, be a part of it, because we believe God's going to do something powerful as we gather.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at SeanandKristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you. So be sure to show us some love.
Hey, Keep 100 Tribe, thanks so much for joining us this week. Help us to get the word out. We really believe that there are many people that are already listening to it, but many people that are hungry. So we are so, in so many respects, we're so honored that you would pass the word on for us. So join us on our next podcast, our next episode. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.